This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's catch up with Karen McGee to find out what's going on in the Central Regional Report. Karen is a content development specialist for AMI and joins us this morning from Morrisburg, Ontario. Hey, good morning, Karen.
Dave, it's so cute when you youngins try to tell us what people over 50 can do. That's really sweet.
I mean, I'm getting there real fast. Have you ever popped a bottle of champagne?
No. Ginger ale, maybe. No.
Popping some ginger ale. That's how we do it to make sure our tummies don't get upset.
Don't tell me I can't do it because now I want to rush out and do it, right?
Karen, just spite. Next time we see each other, let's spray each other with champagne bottles. Sparkling wine. I don't know if we can afford champagne.
Just not in the office around the equipment.
No, certainly not. Although, do you remember during the AMI Audio 20th anniversary broadcast when I did open a bottle of champagne and then it ended up all over my jeans? Not on the equipment, but all over my jeans.
Your jeans. Yes, that was a good look for you, Dave.
That was a good day at the office. Karen, a couple things before we get into the Central Regional Reports. Number one, you saw something in regard to Squid Game and audio description this morning.
Yes, on Twitter this morning, there was somebody who was complaining that it does not have audio description, and somebody in the know who works in audio description, not with AMI, but does a company in the States, I believe, said it's coming soon.
Coming down the pipeline. That
they are working on doing it, yeah.
Item number two, you live in a border town. What was the general feeling yesterday when we found out that the land border of the U.S. should be opening sometime in November?
I knew you were going to ask this. I should say, I'm so happy I can go visit my sister and her kids. However, the first thought I was Entenmann Donuts, which is just awful.
Is that a Watertown?
Entenmann Donuts, no, they're like, it's like you buy them in the grocery stores and they're the softest, most delicious donuts in the world. They're amazing. I've never brought any in the office for you. Oh, sorry.
Well, they obviously would not make it the 1 hour drive from Morrisburg into Ottawa. I think
I have to put them in the trunk when I buy them because I can't explain it. It's silly.
I cannot wait for my first trip into a Price Chopper when I can cross that land border. That's going to be fun times. All right, Karen, let's get into the Central Regional Reports. It's not the Northern New York Regional Report. It's the Central Canadian Regional Report. So let's jump into the Barrie Sports Hall of Fame. Three Special Olympic athletes have been added to the Barrie Sports Hall of Fame. So let's go through them one by one. Let's start with Michael Wimms. What do you want to tell us about Michael Wimms?
So this is my old neck of the woods. This is actually a ceremony that I've covered many times when I worked in Barrie, and it's a wonderful ceremony. Michael's been involved with Special Olympics since the early 2000s. Being from the Barrie area, and you'll hear this a lot in the athletes, alpine skiing, it's a big ski area, soccer and softball as well. So as a member of Team Ontario, he actually got to go to the Special Olympics National Games in 2004 and 2016. He's podiumed several times. He represented Team Canada at the Special Olympic World Games in Austria in 2017, where he won a gold medal for giant slalom alpine skiing event. He's actually since then become a real leader within Special Olympics. He's been a mentor as well as an ambassador for Special Olympics as a public speaker. So well-deserved.
Wow, that is quite the biography of engagement with the movement. Very cool to see that from Michael. What about Jade Irvine?
So Jade joined Special Olympics in Barrie in 2013. Again, snow sports up in Barrie. There's a lot of snow, trust me. Snowshoeing, swimming, soccer, track, and five-pin bowling. So five sports. She represented Team Canada at the Special Olympic World Games in Austria in 2017. She competed in the 100-meter and 200-meter snowshoe races and won a silver medal in the 4x100-meter relay.
Wow.
So basically in Barrie, if you medal at the World Games, you automatically qualify for the Hall of Fame, which I really like. Like it's your automatic buy-in. Love that.
That makes sense. Listen, if you compete and succeed at the world level, you should get into local sports hall of fames. That makes sense to me. Like, how can we set the standard anywhere else? And what about David Wine?
So David has been with Special Olympics since 2009. And again, skiing, Nordic skiing, alpine skiing, snowshoeing, soccer, track, and golf. David has competed for Team Canada in the World Games in Austria in 2017. So it's basically the class who competed in 2017 and won medals. He won silver in slalom and bronze in the giant slalom. And what I really love about David is he also composed the Team Canada song for the 2017 Special Olympics, and he got to perform the song while he was in Austria in various places. And all the information in the bios about these athletes is a courtesy of Barry 360, where I get a lot of my stories from. But isn't that cool? He wrote the song.
I see that.
Like
that,
the Team Canada song.
Like, forget just being an athlete in the movement. This is a grower of the sport elements right there, being one of the songwriters behind the theme song. Very, very cool.
In my spare time from training, I'm just going to compose a whole song.
Well, it's like how John Tesh. It's like how John Tesh wrote the NBA on NBC song. Ba, 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 ba,
but John ba, Tesh ba, ba, wasn't ba. An athlete. John Tesh wasn't really an athlete, was
oh,
he?
Oh, I don't know if John Tesh wants to hear you say that. There's no way of knowing.
John Tesh CDs.
Okay, Karen, let's move on. Instead of talking about John Tesh, let's talk about Ben Bourne Flossman, who was supposed to start Carleton University this fall. Why did the university put his in-person education on hold?
So I found this story really interesting because I think something you and I can both vouch for, because we've been to Carleton a lot doing stories. Carleton is really renowned in Canada and actually worldwide for its accessibility. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a leader. And Ben received the news this summer that the Carleton's attendance services program, which means he would be provided with an attendant to come into his room while he stayed in dorms and help him out with the assistance he needed. Ben has spinal muscular atrophy. They weren't doing it for the first semester of this year due to COVID-19. Ben received many scholarships to help him to go to school, and he was really excited to attend. Like, it's what you do. You graduate high school, you go away to college. It was really hard to watch his friends go off to college in August while he had to wait. And Ben's father said Ben is the type of person who really benefits from sort of an in-class environment, interacting with other students, interacting with professors. He is able to attend classes remotely, but he's really hoping in January that he can go. They offered to get their own attendant as well, and the school turned them down, like to pay for their own attendant. The school actually turned that down.
Right. So this is a COVID-19 restriction in regards to people being allowed inside dormitories and residence accommodation. So what has the university had to say about the matter?
So thespec.com, where I got this story, reached out, and a statement from Carleton University's media relations officer, Stephen Reed, who, full disclosure, we both know. He said, well, they understand students' frustration. The health of Carleton's community was paramount, and the nature of the ASP program does not allow for safe distancing. So exactly what he said, it's COVID-19. The university has contacted all the students. The university is making sure they have everything they need to do online learning. And as for Ben, though, he really feels like he's missing out on that big university experience. I mean, even if he starts in January, a lot of that first getting to know you is done. And, yeah, you know, familiarizing yourself. And, you know, it's like joining a new school halfway through the year. So it's not going to be easy, but he's really hoping. He's taking his fight to the media, and he's participated in some rallies, hoping to get some support for fellow students, just to get him there for January. And a lot of the other students are probably in the same situation.
Yeah, there are certainly a lot of robust conversations that can be had in relation to accommodation in regards to COVID-19 policy. And I think this is one of these situations where we need to have that robust conversation, understand where exceptions can indeed and should lie. Hey, Karen, thank you for taking the time for us today. Always enjoyed chatting with you. You got some really interesting stories here. And also, I was happy to get another Border Town take from you with this breaking news about the American border. Karen, until the news quiz on Tuesday, have a nice weekend.
See you, my friend.
That's Karen McGee, a content development specialist for AMI, joining us from Morrisburg, Ontario, where the people are rejoicing that they soon be able to drive across the border into America and visit Watertown, the big mall, go to Ogdensburg, visit the UPS store. Goodness gracious, so many opportunities. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.